Thanks for tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder.
Hey everybody, welcome to Podcast Viewfinder,
special bonus edition, episode.
Bonus episode.
52, 9 and 3 quarters.
There you go.
52.5. Wait, what's the platform?
9 and
3
quarters.
52.
That
nine.
Was a joke I made.
52 and 3 quarters. Okay. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
And I'm Adrian.
All right, so we're just going to talk about 10 Cloverfield Lane this episode only. Okay. Just for a few minutes. So, okay. Warning, we're going to talk about spoilers. We're going to say everything that happened in this movie and more. So, if you haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane and you want to, then don't listen to this yet. Unless you don't mind stuff being spoiled. Okay, let's get into it. Adrian, your thoughts on 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I really enjoyed it. From the opening scene.
Man. Oscar worthy?
Oscar worthy? I don't know about that.
Whoa.
Yeah, if we're going back to old school, it just really... I grew up on Alfred Hitchcock.
Ah, yes.
The tribute that it paid to it. I just love... This is the only type of scary movie that I really enjoy is suspense. So, it was right up my alley.
Because it's not scary in the sense of, like...
There's not things jumping out at people. There's not... Yeah. Blood and gore. Well, kind of.
There's a little bit.
But it's not like there's demons or, I don't know, right. Just your typical horror film. It's not anything like that.
James, 10 Cloverfield Lane.
That was really good. I liked it too. Different than the other one.
Yeah, very different. Yeah.
By a lot, obviously. So, but I enjoyed the less shaky cam.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't have shaky cam. But it's been how long since Cloverfield?
Oh, man.
I was in college, so it was like forever ago.
Yeah.
So it was like 2007, 2009?
I don't know.
It is 2008.
2008.
Right.
So 8 years. So this one was... So J.J. Abrams explained it. He said it's like there's a Cloverfield theme park. There's a theme park, and these are two rides in the same theme park. So the theme is Cloverfield, so you have Cloverfield.
So the universe.
Yeah, and then you have 10 Cloverfield Lane, which really doesn't... There's really no relation. You can go see 10 Cloverfield Lane and not have seen Cloverfield.
I don't know. Maybe that thing was an alien.
There's probably some Easter eggs in there.
I don't know. I've tried seeing
Easter
stuff.
Easter eggs, get it? Because Easter is yesterday.
Easter doesn't happen. All right. Okay, so the overall movie, yeah, the opening scene... was because there's a surprise moments, I think, that is like that made it really good. So in the opening scene, she's driving down the road and then her car just gets sideswiped and it's just like this loud like and then it just stops and it's like 10 Cloverfield Lane. And then it goes and then her car's like flipping and she's like screaming and it's like and it stops again. It's like Paramount Pictures Presents or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's really cool.
That was good.
And the next scene she wakes up, she's chained to a bed and you're like, oh,
that's not good.
So the whole movie, you're like, and this is what I like, because you don't know what's going on. Like,
you don't know what's true. You're like, this is weird.
Yeah.
But some of this could be true.
Let's talk about John Goodman.
John Goodman. Good job.
Jumping right into that.
Because the first person. So really, there's four people in the whole movie. Five if you count Brad, what's his name? His voice. Guy played in A-Team.
You're talking about the fiance?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, so Bradley Cooper, his voice is in the movie. Yeah. So there's four.
In every movie you could have picked with him. You picked the A-Team?
I know.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. I like the A-Team.
There's the three. Oh, and then the lady.
There's a lady that she says like two lines and then. Dies. Okay.
Yeah, what about anybody at the gas station?
No.
I don't think there's anybody at the gas station.
See anybody through like the window?
Maybe. I don't know. So you might see somebody.
Some cars?
Yeah.
Going by.
So she's driving in a car wreck, wakes up in this bunker, and this guy played by John Goodman, what was his name? Hank? Henry? Harold? Herbert?
Wow, we should have just
jumping
Harold, I thought.
Yeah,
no,
so,
I don't think it's Harold.
Anyways, Howard. Okay, so they're down in this bunker, and he's like, "Hey, something just happened. There's like a giant. He's like, I don't know if it's aliens.
Everybody's dead.
Yeah, if I don't know if it's nuclear warfare. But he's like, but I built this bunker. And he's like, I saved your life. He's like, you ran off the road. I saw you wreck, and then
just leave you there.
Yeah. So, but he's creepy. Like he, like the way that he plays his character, you're like, he doesn't seem like he's all there. Like you're like, there's something weird about him.
Well, first off, she's chained to the.
Yeah,
she's in a room, but she's chained. She's not handcuffed. She's got her brace on her knee. So it's like, oh, that's nice of him that he.
Yeah. You're
like, I guess she's hurt in the knee, but it's chained. So I, like, well, that is kind of weird.
Yeah. So.
But I think there is this tension because you know that it's loosely related to Cloverfield. So you almost like, you're like, oh, this is seems like a scary situation, but he might be right that something bad is happening and he just saved her.
Yeah, because he, in Cloverfield, there's, is it an alien or a sea creature? I never know.
You don't know.
But it's this giant monster. And so you're like, okay, yeah, the world outside is falling apart because this giant monster is like eating the whole world. So, so you're like, okay, that's why they're down there. But then like the more you find out, you're like, oh, this doesn't seem right. Because then, so when there's a part where she runs and goes and looks outside.
Yeah.
And you see these pigs that are dead. And you're like, okay, he could have planted that or whatever. But then that lady runs up and she's like, her skin's falling off. And you're like, oh. Yeah. That seems wrong. So, like, did he inject them, or maybe there is something going on, and you don't know.
Yeah,
like you don't like. So it's I okay. So, but then there's somebody else down. Emmett, he's down in the bunker with
him. Yeah, he changes. He throws everything off.
Yeah,
but he's good. He's good.
So Emmett, like, okay. Emmett has a broken arm.
Yeah,
and he said, "I was fighting to get down there."
Yeah,
he's like, "I wanted to be here." Yeah. So, but Howard didn't want him there.
Yeah.
And so Howard treats him really bad.
I know. He does. He's crazy. All right, poor Emmett. He's just trying to survive.
Yeah. So that's when you know John Goodman's, like, not all there at the beginning because...
Oh, the way he treats Emmett.
Yeah, because Emmett, like... Because she, like, stumbles and Emmett, like, puts his hand out and catches her. Michelle is her name. And he catches Michelle and he goes, "Don't touch her!" And he's like, whoa. Like, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? So you find out that John Goodman's wife and daughter left when he started building the bunker because they were like, all right, he's crazy. He spent too much time on this. And they left and moved to Chicago. And so he built this bunker. And he's like, one of the quotes is, yeah, he's like, Noah, he's like crazy. He said, people say I'm crazy, but crazy is like building the ark after the flood is coming.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, that's a good point. He's building this bunker.
He just got really lucky. All right. He just really got lucky in this.
Yeah, but he's a doomsday conspiracist.
I think he did.
There's a lot of people out there that have bunkers, though.
I know, but if the doomsday doesn't happen...
Then you got a nice little spare room stocked full of groceries for a year. Oh, it's coming, James. The Bible talks about it. Have you read the Bible?
No, not that book.
No revelation. Yeah, but it's... Okay, so we talk about worldview on the show. So what worldview do you think... Cloverfield is talking about, because let's finish the movie first, then we'll talk through it, and then so she tries to escape a couple times, and then realizes okay, there is stuff bad stuff going on. Then it's like peaceful, and there's like a great montage of them playing games and listening to music, and everything seems good. Then the air vent breaks down, and he like can't get through the door, so she has to climb through this vent to get there.
Yeah,
and then she finds a message. Earring and a message that somebody had written help on the inside trying to escape out of this
bunker.
And you're like, oh, this isn't
and
good.
And then she puts it together after she gets out that it belonged to his supposed daughter.
Yeah, because he showed a picture and said, this was my daughter.
And then Emmett's like, that's not his daughter.
That's a girl that disappeared 2 years ago and nobody knew where she went. And you're like, oh, well.
And then another picture falls out of the book of Emmett. Or not Emmett, but Howard and the girl.
Oh, does it? I didn't see
it. Yeah, because he was sitting by the girl.
Yeah,
she was sitting
it's
next
like
to him
they're
on
the sitting
couch.
On the couch together in
and
the
she,
bunker.
Like, looked very out of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was, you know, happy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, man. All right, so then...
That's crazy.
So then, at that point, Emmett and Michelle start trying to make something to get out of the bunker. They're going to make a breathable suit to get out, because they're like, we've got to get out of here because this guy's crazy. And yeah. So then he finds something and he's like, hey, tell me why this happened, or tell me what happened. And he's got this big vat of acid and he's like, well...
He threatens him, says, hey, why did I find this stuff? Why did I find scissors, tape, some other stuff? Yeah, and he's got a big vat of acid, says... It basically can burn through something real quick.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, it was me. I was building this thing to try to get out. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, you're sorry?
He's well, like, he said he was going to take his gun.
Oh, yeah, he's going to try and get his gun.
They didn't reveal that he had built the thing to get out. He just said, I was going to steal your gun.
Yeah, so that I could be in charge. And she would look at me the way she looks at you. And he was trying to, like... build Emmett up, and Emmett's like, okay, thank you for telling me that. And he's Howard, like, Howard, yeah, because I'm sorry. And Howard just shoots him in the face.
Yeah, it's over. You're like, wow. Okay,
Adrian, your thoughts on that scene?
Well, I think I said before, this
not on here.
Not on here, yeah. I think people can control themselves in theaters, and that's why I'm like, oh, you didn't need to scream, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I take all of that back and eat my words, because I gasped so loud and I embarrassed myself. I was just like, and that was so shocking
to
me.
That, okay, usually like jump scenes in a movie, I would get scared. If I could, this is completely a different movie, but I think it was like the Haunting or the House on the Haunted Hill. I don't remember which one. Terrible movie, very stupid, very dumb. But me and my friends went and saw it on opening night when we were in high school. My girlfriend at the time, now my wife, was sitting next to me. She had her knees, like, she had her feet up on the seat, so like she was like kind of hugging her knees. And then my other friends on the other side of me. And there's a scene, and it's like this girl's digging in ashes in a fireplace, and she like finds something and flips it over, and it's a skull. And so as she's flipping it over, this like skeleton just pops up out of the ashes, like right at the camera. And I yelled so loud in the theater that Angela like smashed her head on her knees. And my friend next to me, she leaped out, like he didn't get out of his seat, but he like jumped and he yelled because I scared him more than... in the movie. It was like, people just started laughing because I was like, ah! Like, it scared me so bad. But,
You get scared. You don't like scary movies.
Oh, I know. That movie was dumb. I don't even remember which one it was. But, that scene, though, in 10 Cloverfield Lane, where he just shoots him, and you're like, what? Like, it was so unexpected. But the reason I love this movie is because the way it was crafted. Like, at that moment, I just felt despair, right? Because you're like, oh, her only hope. It's and now over. She's alone with this guy that, like... So, John Goodman's definitely... Or Howard is definitely projecting that that's his daughter. Like, he sees her as a little girl.
Yeah.
Right? When there, like, a scene where he's like, how old... Or,
he's trying to guess little... The game. He's trying to guess Little Women. But he's like, what's another... This... He points to Michelle and says... She is a, and he needs him to say woman, but he's like, girl, princess, like, he won't ever say woman.
Yeah, so he sees her as a child, like, he doesn't, it's not like he's kidnapping her to, like, marry her, like, to survive the apocalypse, but it's like, hey, this is my kid, and that's kind of why the other girl got taken, because it was somebody that, like, they looked very similar, and you're like, this is how his daughter looks. So you find out, and he tells her this. He says, hey, I wrecked your car. And he said, I saw the explosion, and I wasn't paying attention, and I was passing you, and I hit your car because I was distracted.
He still didn't tell the truth.
What?
That's not the truth.
Well, he said he was distracted by the explosion.
What explosion?
Because he saw explosions in the city.
But I think
he was planning on getting her.
Yeah, because he was at the gas station.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, he was.
He knew what she drove.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was the one like little weird plot hole in the movie, right? Or not plot hole, but just kind of like stretch, because he's like, all right, so he sees a girl that looks like his daughter.
Yeah.
Right before the doomsday happens or whatever. So,
and he happened to have built a bunker.
Yeah. So, okay. Creepiest scene in the whole movie. What was it for you guys?
Man.
What was the scene that you're like, oh gosh? Is there any scene in particular?
Probably the end.
Well, I think I know what you're referencing to.
Okay, well, yeah. What?
When he comes, after he's killed Emmett,
oh.
And he comes into the room, her room, and he's like clean shaven, and he's like, you want some ice cream?
Yeah.
He's super clean.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
With that, you're like, oh.
Do you want a bowl or cone?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, Megan. Megan was his daughter. Like, Megan always liked the bowl because it's not as messy, doesn't drip. And he's like, here you go. And he's like, got ice cream for him, and it just like...
And he says, this is how it always should have been anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, something's still strange. Even if he thought it was, he's trying to recreate his daughter because now he's taking care of himself.
Wait, do you think it was like a love marriage kind of thing?
I think there was more, yeah, there was definitely something more to just that.
I don't think so.
No.
I never got that.
No.
So, but...
think it's going to be pushed that way at the beginning because, I mean, what... A man wanting a girl in a bunker, but
yeah.
The fact that he always said girl and princess and he was projecting his daughter, like he would have never have like sexually molested his daughter. And if he sees her as a replacement,
yeah,
that would be like appalling, I think.
Yeah. So
I still think that, I mean,
you still think there's a romantic relationship?
Well, yeah, there's something up with him and that. And I think that's how it portrays it, too.
How? There was nothing that was ever...
Touching.
What?
The touching.
He wouldn't touch
he
her.
He didn't touch her.
No. He wouldn't want anyone to touch her.
Emmett, don't touch her.
Yeah, because it's...
And you'd be like, well, he's protecting her, but... No, I don't see it that way.
He doesn't like Emmett. He doesn't want Emmett there. And then, like, when he sees his daughter falling in love with this man that, like, that he doesn't like... He's gonna protect her and like
maybe,
yeah. I don't know, but okay. So then, so she pushes the vat of acid like after the ice cream scene. She like tries to get away and then pushes the acid over on him. He falls into it. That's when his face starts melting off. So that's when it gets a little gross. But then,
it's not so bad though.
And, yeah, it's not terrible. But
that's
then
he tries to kill her.
Then she gets out. Yeah. Then he's starting like he's like, all right. Oh, now he's gonna try to kill her. So she gets out, and then aliens. So this is the one part I'm like...
No, not okay. At first. She gets out there, because she doesn't know what it is, and she looks around, and she's like, sees birds. She's like, wait, if there's something out... She takes off her mask, and she can hear, like, life. Like, it's happening.
Yeah.
But then she hears a... And then she gets up on the truck, and she does see an alien ship.
And one of the few cuss words in the movie, she utters it then.
Yeah.
So then there's an alien spaceship.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, spraying this gas. That's why the other person, so she, like, puts her gas mask back on. That was homemade.
There's a worm, a space worm.
Yeah.
But you notice how he brought in all these things. Howard brought in, he's talking about space worms. He talked about it's probably an alien invasion.
Oh,
that's not a chopper. It's an alien invasion. And actually his stuff comes to be true.
Yeah. So now, were those aliens the same as the Cloverfield aliens? That's what I didn't think. Like,
no.
It didn't seem like... It seemed like a completely different thing. That's why I was like, oh, this is a...
Different.
It's not really Cloverfield in that sense. It was just aliens.
I was under the impression that there were multiple cities attacked, but we, in Cloverfield, we only saw one city attacked.
By this weird space monster? And this was like spaceships. So, okay, maybe. I don't know. But, okay, so.
Yeah.
So, worldview in this movie. What do you guys think? Like, what was it? Like, what's the thing? Because that's what, like, we do on the podcast. We ask, like, okay, what do these people say about God, creation, about life? What's the purpose? What are they looking at? Like, what's behind their motivations? And so, and that kind of shows us their worldview, and that kind of shows what the movie is portraying as a worldview. So what were like the motivations of the characters? What do you think they're...
The one that I've read a lot about different theories and stuff on this movie in particular. So the one that I am kind of behind and what I believe to be true is that is about domestic abuse.
Okay.
And where it's like a very obvious correlation between somebody and domestic abuse. So, and that is why the ending is needed. So it kind of justifies the ending. It's like leaving the house, like finally deciding to leave the house of domestic abuse is not the end goal. Is not the real battle. The battle is making these decisions along the way. And like what you do after you leave the house to get over that. And so for her, it was, she had to go and make the choice to fight it or to just go and run and hide, and potentially it happening to her again, because that's what she's doing in the beginning. Is it's maybe implied that her and her fiance got in a fight. So she's running away from him. We don't know if that was like abusive or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's running away from him and gets put in another situation. So now she just, and then she talks about it in the part where her and Emmett are talking, and she says, I saw, you know, a dad abusing his daughter in the store and I wanted to say something, but I didn't. She just walked away. So I think that point.
What was that? Why was she, was that like the biggest regret?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that she never said anything.
Okay.
So when she escapes the bunker, that's not the end. She needs something. So they introduce the aliens. And it's like, you can choose to fight them or you can choose to go and run again like you always do. And she chose to fight.
So I'm reading this, but it was like posted 3 hours ago. So.
Well, it's from a Reddit feed though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So.
What's that?
What was posted 3 hours ago?
Oh, it's like why the 10 Cloverfield Lane ending works.
Oh, yeah. I looked that up too. And that takes some. Yeah.
But I think that's true. I think
you can see it.
Yeah, I can see it.
Oh, wait, yeah. So you're looking at something else too. So, yeah. So she. International trailers spoil almost everything. So in the international trailer, that little worm thing was on there. So yeah, and the other thing too, like that was in there, I think is like about facing your fears. Because she talked about that, right? She's like, I'm always running away.
Yeah.
And the Emmett character was like, I've never left. Like, he's like, I had this scholarship to go be a track star or something. And he's like, I had a bus ticket and I never took that opportunity. Does he give her the bus tickets?
She finds it in his wallet
after he's dead. So, yeah, it was just that idea of, like, I had an opportunity to do something with myself and make something of myself, and instead I took the safe route. And so in this instance, he's like, he owns up and takes the blame instead of her, and then he ends up getting killed for it. But he's like, I'm going to face what I fear. And then John Goodman, his fear was abandonment, like, of his daughter. Like, he's like, I messed up this relationship with my daughter, and now I'm trying to replace it. I'm trying to find something, but it's never going to be what it is, right? Yeah, it's never going to be the relationship. And so, so it's that, like, I don't know, maybe life goals that you have or things that you want to do, and then when you realize, like, I didn't reach those goals, and then trying to fix it, what, retroactively? Is that the... So, he's trying to make amends for what he did, but the way he goes about it is even worse than if he just called up his family and was like, hey, I'm sorry. But now he knows he can't do that because they probably died because Chicago blew up. So at the very end, she has a choice to go either to Omaha, where the fight is, or to Baton Rouge, where it's safe.
Is it Omaha or Houston?
which is a little silly.
I know, because that road sign, you're like, is that a real road sign? Probably not. Right. You're like, you have a choice to go to Baton Rouge or Houston.
Well, I was just like, yeah.
And she just heard on the radio, hey.
She gets the car, turns on the radio, and there's a random lady that's like, if you want to go to safety, go here. If you want to go fight, go here.
It's an emergency broadcast system.
Yeah.
So there's like a, it's like a repeated loop. It's like, we're winning the war in these places, but if you want to come join the resistance or whatever, join the fight.
Yeah. And then she just happens to drive by this sign to both places. You want to
hear my theory?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Actually, after Emmett gets killed, she goes crazy. And she imagines the rest of the movie. She's actually still in the bunker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think she's just chained in there? So why do you, what, is there anything that backs that up, or you're just...
There's a couple of things that you all everything that he's told her is feeding into her reality now. And everything she's imagining. So the fight, everything. It's built in. The sign. It's a long shot, but...
Oh, because well... Everything that he alludes to happens at the end. Is that what you're saying?
Like space alien, space worm.
Yeah, and it says space worms, and then there's a space worm, and then...
There's the...
She even finds the ticket. Like, when is that?
She finds a bus ticket in his wallet.
Yeah. And did he say he's still carrying that?
Yeah,
I think he did.
But yeah, so all of it comes true.
And Howard said that something would blow up, and it did. That kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be dumb.
Oh, it wasn't real!
It's all
a dream. I'm still in the bunker. Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer.
But no, it was... there's a few bad words in the movie, and a little bit of violence and stuff, but it was very... Very suspenseful, very good, very well done. It's just those smaller movies with three people, like I don't know, like just with a few people, it's like basically in one area. It's like a few rooms, but you're like,
yeah, it's
they did a really good job of just building. Like it was kind of like a roller coaster, right? Like you like have this like suspense, like oh he's kind of crazy, like oh wait he's not that bad, like,
no
oh, wait,
he's crazy,
he's crazy. Yeah, it just kind of goes back and forth. But
well, the first drop was on the. She nails his head and takes his keys and
yeah,
runs out.
Yeah, and then right at that moment, that lady came to the door.
Was it that lady?
Well, that's why she went up there, because the car. She heard the car, and so she's like, "I gotta try and get out of here." And then she gets up there, and the lady's like,
"Yeah,
dying."
Yeah. So, I don't know. I liked it. It was a good movie.
The lady was gonna like drive her car through the door.
She couldn't have, but
break the glass with her head.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was a fun movie. It was good.
So moral to the story.
Moral of the story is face your fears. Yeah. Do the hard thing.
Run toward them.
Did you kill?
No, yeah, because she ran away. She ended up in that. Well, yeah, Emmett. Yeah, but you don't know. You won't know the that's the thing. Something bad could happen. That's always that like oh, but if I did this, something bad could happen. Yeah. That's a choice, but
if she hadn't ran away the first time, though, she'd be dead.
No. maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because she was in the city.
But that wasn't Chicago, was it? Was she in Chicago?
No, she was in, I thought, Baton Rouge or whatever. Louisiana.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she could have been dead. We don't know. She might have made a gas mask. But yeah, but like... Because she didn't face her fears, but at this point she started to, and she started like to make a move and all that stuff. And so, Adrian, I like that theory about the abuse stuff. About it's not just getting out of the house isn't enough; it's about those next steps.
And I liked my theory about it all being fake at the end.
That is an interesting theory, though. Like you bring up some good points about like how all those like weird things that he said. End up coming true.
But that also backs the other theory that Howard is more involved in the whole scheme than...
He's part of the aliens?
Not part of the aliens, but he knew about it. Like, why would he build a bunker? He knew the theory on space worms. So you could flip that and be like, Howard actually knew a lot more, because he did say that he was, in the Army or... He was
in the Navy.
But maybe he tried to warn people, and then people say he's crazy.
Right. That's what they say. He knew what was coming. He knew that there were space worms. He knew, some things he alludes to. And there's something with the organization that he has in the bunker. I don't know, some sort of thing that you see in the background that shows that he probably knew more.
See, when it's a good movie, like, I immediately afterward would go read people's theories about it and see, and so that's why that's why I really like this.
What's the real truth?
Yeah. So, hey, this has been a special edition of Podcast Viewfinder.
Yeah. This is a one-year bonus.
Episode 52 and a half, or 52 and 9 3/4, or whatever.
Yeah, it's already complicated. Earlier.
So, thanks for listening.
9 3/4. I don't understand.
It's some Harry Potter. Harry Potter reference. Sorry,
which one?
All of them.
Really?
That's how
they get to Hogwarts. They're in the train station, they go platform 9 3/4. You run through the wall.
Oh man!
And I tried it and broke my nose. All right. This has been a special edition of Podcast Viewfinder. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
I'm Adrian.
And thanks for watching or listening.
Both.
Viewfinder.